can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Pool Perfect Max from Natural Chemistry is the premier weekly maintenance product for all pools. This 3-in-1 technology enhances clarity, maximizes pool program efficiency, and prevents problems. Take every pool care program to the max with Pool Perfect Max.
So my child is yelling in the background, if you can hear her. I'm not sure.
Why?
Well, she's talking to her one of her friends on FaceTime. So I have something to tell you. I'm gonna be a snitch real quick. But first, welcome to the Talking Pools Podcast, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm Andrea, and I'm here as usual with Rudy. Hi, Rudy.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here.
Do you
want to
say your own name?
No, you said it for it. You said it. It's fine. I'm good. That's who I am.
All right.
I'm Rudy.
All right, cool. So I'm about to snitch. Do you have TikTok?
Who are you snitching on?
You do have a TikTok?
I do.
Do you follow your son?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe. Why? What did he do?
Have you seen his latest video that he posted? Oh, I don't know if it's his latest video. I think it was a couple days ago.
No.
I told him I was going to tell you about it.
What did he do?
I kind of think I want you to watch it and see your reaction live.
Oh.
No, you don't have to. Do you want me to tell you?
Well, it makes more sense if we're going to do this and if you're going to bring it up and talk about it here because people can't
All right.
see.
Do you want me to, huh?
Why don't you just tell us?
All right, I'll tell you what
I know
it
won't have the same impact, but you know what? There's people listening and that's why we're here. And
okay.
They're not going
to be
able to see.
It's an audio medium, so I guess playing a video would be stupid. All right, so so my good friend Jake, your son, right?
Yes.
He actually drank pool water in one of his TikTok videos.
What?
He drank the butt water?
Apparently. I would like to think that it was edited and he actually had like regular water that he switched it out for. He's gonna
was
be
there
mad.
Money
he's,
involved?
He's gonna unfriend me after this.
Is he?
I don't know. I hope not.
So my kid drank the butt water. That's what you're saying.
Your kid drinking the butt water.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to go back and look. Hopefully it's just edited and he was just screwing around. So
hopefully. Our friend Randy did a duet and Randy also drank some butt water. So
Randy drank Canova, butt water also.
Randy,
so there's like a whole
pool boy in the house. Yeah.
Wow. So they're starting a trend of things that you're not supposed to do.
Drinking the butt water.
Ugh. Yeah. We don't drink the pool water. That stuff's nasty. People put their asses in there. We've had Uh-oh. Discussion after discussion after discussion about how much schmutz and gack and go ahead, say it.
Schmegma.
People carry on themselves into the water.
Are you going to
0.14 grams of feces?
Call?
If you're clean, if you've just got out of the shower, you carry feces on your person.
Oh, what the hell?
And we know nobody that gets into a pool is taking a shower. Half of the friggin' people use the pool as the shower.
The pool is the shower.
For a lot of them, it's their bathtub. I don't need a bath. I got in the pool.
Yeah.
Skank ass.
Sorry, Jake.
Seriously, man. People are frigging gross. I wouldn't put that shit in my mouth. So, yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Now I know what it'll say on his tombstone. Here lies Jake. He drank the butt water.
He drank the butt water. Do not
and then we'll
the
put
water.
The same thing on Randy's stone next week.
That's funny.
No, Randy's doing really good on TikTok,
yeah,
though.
He's
you
got
see?
Like 200 followers or 200,000. I'm sorry.
200,000 followers on TikTok.
I'm so jealous.
Is that what drinking the butt water
gets you? I mean, no, because Jake doesn't have 200,000.
I'm almost, I have like 800 and like 20 or something like that. I'm getting close to 1,000. Woohoo, go me.
I think I'm getting close to 400.
Nice. You got to do more dances.
I'm a little depressed.
Oh,
I know,
why?
I don't know how closely you follow mainstream news, but swimming pools do pop up on a regular basis. And to me, some of the news we see is just sickening. So I wanted to read just a couple of these headlines. And these are all from within the last month, within the last 30 days. So here's the first one. This is from Fox 5 out of Atlanta. It says 20 children, several adults treated after chlorine exposure at indoor Forsyth County pool. The next is WWBD. BT, I'm not sure where they're out of. It says doctors issue warnings following chemical exposure at Chesterfield pool. WBOC, exposure to pool chemicals sickens 2 in West Ocean City. Wave 3, this is from 19 days ago. Members of Glen Oak swim team hospitalized after possible pool chlorine leak. 9 days ago. 20 days ago, and this is on WHAS 11 News, swimmers at Northeast Louisville Swim Club treated after assumed chlorine leak. And the list goes on and on. That's just from a quick internet search. Even if it's with the best of intentions, people shouldn't touch things they're not qualified to f***ing touch. I don't know if you remember this. It was a couple of years ago, but a group of individuals, including myself, got together to promote a video that was put together by the American Chemistry Council's chlorine division. This video detailed the importance of electrically interlocking the circulation pump and chemical feed equipment to avoid the chlorine gas incident risk. One of the things that gets me is when folks hear this, they hear the fact that there was a chlorine gas incident at a public pool, and immediately, at least in my experience when speaking with folks, immediately they think to themselves, well, lucky us, we don't use chlorine gas, or who could possibly be using chlorine gas nowadays? But the problem is that every one of these incidents that have occurred across the country, across the world, have occurred in systems that were not using chlorine gas. I'm not saying those incidents with chlorine gas don't occur. They absolutely do. But the ones we're speaking about specifically, the examples that I read to you in the headlines in the last 30 days are all pools that were using sodium hypochlorite, liquid chlorine, and they had a feeder. They also had automation for pH control, which would be an acid feeder. And they were in systems where something had failed, where something had been changed, where something had been moved. And people just glance over articles because of the titles. And we shouldn't do that. We should read these things, anything pertaining to swimming pools. When it comes up in the news, or even if you see a post, something regarding safety, open the article and read the article. Don't just make assumptions based off of the headlines, because this is important stuff. And if you're using sodium hypochlorite, in fact, if you're using any type of chlorine, this pertains to you. The video speaks of the importance of electrically interlocking the circulation pump and the chemical feed equipment to avoid the risk of accidental chlorine gas exposure. Electrical interlock suspends chemical feed as soon as the pump stops. Whether it's stopped for maintenance reasons, backwashing, or if the pump should die, the feed of chlorine into the plumbing, the feed of acid into the plumbing stops. That's important. So it talks about the various levels of electrical interlock protection. This way, we don't worry about injecting chlorine and acid into a dry pipe. Because when chlorine comes in contact with acid, what we get is chlorine gas. Then when the pump comes back on, it forces that cloud of chlorine gas back out into the pool where the people are. Chlorine gas is heavier than air. So it floats along the surface of the water, right where the people's heads are. In the time since this video has been put together, the chlorine division at the American Chemistry Council has disbanded, but the video does still exist, and it's still a lot of important information. And I do think that we should still continue to circulate this video. You can test your system easy enough to see. Shut the pump off. If your peristaltic pump keeps pumping, then you got a problem. Your system is not electronically interlocked. And there's a couple of different ways we can go about this, whether it's tying into the same circuit or you go with an electric interlock device. There should also be flow sensors, floats, in your collection chamber for your ORP probes, all of these things, the best bet is to have them all in place.
I agree.
I did want you to listen to what was put together, to the video that the stakeholders group was promoting. This video still exists, and it is still timely and relevant information. Luckily, it's a verbal video with a lot of instruction. So I just want to jump into that for just a quick second.
Aquatic venues are fun but complex systems. They're a delicate balance of lifeguards, water, sunscreen, pool treatment equipment, and chemicals. When the operation is running smoothly and effectively, the behind-the-scenes systems are rarely a thought, until they fail.
The malfunction is to blame for a chlorine leak. After several people were sickened, several ambulances were called around noon on Saturday after several people reported difficulty breathing.
And the effects can be serious.
We ended up transporting 35 patients away from the scene after decontaminating them. The sickest of them had difficulty breathing and were vomiting. The chemicals involved were muriatic acid and chlorine. There was an accident that occurred. Somehow the muriatic acid and chlorine, undiluted, got mixed together inside the pump room. It created a visible yellow cloud, and that drifted across the pool deck. What that can do is cause the lungs to start leaking fluid and fill the lungs up with that fluid, and you end up drowning in your own fluid.
Pools of all sizes are complex systems of pipes, pumps, filters, and injectors. Water must be clean, free of debris, and chemically treated to make it safe for swimmers. And it must be constantly flowing through the system in order for the treatment to work. Most times, minor problems pose no serious risk, like if the pH is slightly off, or if there's minor debris in the pool. But when there's a problem with the critical process of circulation and chemical injection, the risk to swimmers can become life-threatening. Here's how it's supposed to work. Pool water is constantly circulated by a pump. The water is filtered, and a chlorine-based disinfectant and acid are added to make the pool water sanitary. As long as water continues to circulate, there is no cause for concern. In the incidents shown at the beginning of this program, something went wrong. Remember that the system is safe as long as water is circulating. If circulation stops, but the chemicals continue to be injected, serious problems can occur. Chlorine-based disinfectants and acid react to produce chlorine gas. When the circulation pump is off, and the chemical feeders continue to pump, dangerous levels of chlorine gas can build up in the pipes. When circulation resumes, the gas is pushed out of the pipes and into the pool, endangering people in and around the pool. To protect people, chemical feeders should automatically shut off when there is no water flow in the circulation system at the point of chemical injection. In order for this automatic shutdown to work, all components should be electrically interlocked together so they function as one system. There are essentially two ways to electrically interlock a system, either conceptually through circuit breaker design or directly through the use of a master electrical interlock box, also referred to as a safety switch. It's important to note that basic interlock designs only react to electrical incidents, such as loss of power, and not to an inherent loss of flow, which might be caused by something else. The basic level of interlock protection is to ensure electrical connections to the circulation pump and the chemical controller or feeders are on the same circuit. If the circuit powering the pump is tripped, power to the chemical feeders is also lost, and chlorine-based disinfectants and acid will not be injected. A more advanced level of interlock protection would be to incorporate a flow or float switch in the sample stream of the chemical controller. When the sample stream loses flow, the switch signals the controller to stop the chemical feed. However, this method is dependent upon where the sample stream is installed in the circulation system. The highest level of protection is to incorporate an interlock box or safety switch that monitors and controls the circulation pump and the chemical feeders from the point of injection. The individual components are truly interlocked or dependent upon each other for proper operation. For example, if the circulation pump stops, the interlock automatically shuts the chemical feeders down. So if these systems are designed to protect people in the event of a failure, why do people get hurt? The answer is simple: mechanical failure or human factors. A flow switch could fail and send a false indication of water flow when there is none, and the chemical injectors would still feed chlorine disinfectant and acid into the system. Additionally, a maintenance operator can bypass these safety methods by plugging the chemical feeders into another circuit. As shown in this video, many incidents occur as a result of human error that led to a situation that endangered swimmers. These incidents arise not out of maliciousness, but from a desire to keep the pool open. Unfortunately, they may have acted without an understanding of the consequences of their actions. The more barriers in place, the less likely all are able to fail or be bypassed at the same time. First and foremost, the aquatic venue should be closed and all bathers removed from the pool and deck anytime there is maintenance work to be performed on the circulation and chemical systems. The pool and deck area should be cleared immediately anytime a flow sensor detects no flow in the system, or when there is an unexpected or manual deactivation of the circulation pump, or when the interlock system is activated, indicating a problem with the flow system. Bathers should not be allowed back into the aquatic venue until the cause of the interruption is understood and the condition is corrected. The system should operate correctly for at least 5 minutes and the water tested to ensure proper pH and free chlorine levels before allowing bathers into the pool and deck areas. The circulation and chemical feeder system, as well as the electrical interlock system, should be working properly. The safety switch system and the electrical interlock should be installed and maintained according to the manufacturer's instructions. It should not be modified or bypassed in any way. You should not use an alternate source of electrical power to the feeders. This defeats the purpose of the interlock. An alarm or other indicator should be activated whenever the chemical feeder is disabled through the safety switch or electrical interlock system to alert staff to evacuate the pool area. An initial challenge test should be conducted upon installation of the system, and regular challenge tests, including a backwash cycle at least once a month, should be conducted to ensure the proper operation of the interlock system, safety switch, sensors, and alarms. There should be proper labeling of all components, including tanks, feeders, pipes, and direction of flow. Keep all signs, labels, and placards up to date and legible. Consider using safety signs as reminders to take actions, such as evacuate the pool area under certain conditions. Staff should be trained on recognizing high-risk scenarios that could lead to chlorine gas exposure, including when circulation ceases and when the electrical interlock and safety switch failure alert system is activated. It's best to prevent emergencies before they happen. OSHA hazard communication plan requirements should be followed, including developing an emergency action plan. Aquatic venues of all sizes are complex systems, but with a few precautions and adherence to critical safety measures, they can be extremely fun and safe.
Obviously, this does not just pertain to pool professionals. This pertains to anybody who has access to that pump room, anybody who has access to those feeders. Don't
all the volunteers
touch things you're not qualified to touch.
Don't go sneaking around in hotel pump rooms either.
I get it. You want to keep the pool operational, but you know what? It's not worth killing people over.
For sure. You have to be careful.
Shut the system down. Shut the pool down. Call a pool professional. Have them come out. Have them correct it. Have them put the devices in place so your system is safe to operate. If you are a pool professional and you know that it's not safe, stop. Give them a quote. Get them an estimate on what it would take to get the system to where it needs to be. If you're not qualified to do that yourself, sub it out to somebody who is.
Yeah, that would work. I mean, if you can't do
the
it,
solution
you might as well let somebody else.
Is electrical interlock. The news footage in the video that you've heard here is supplied by WJET, YourErie.com, Nexstar Broadcasting, Inc., and that was used with written permission. The interview footage was provided by Digital First Media, the Mercury News, and Getty Images, and they were all used, again, with written permission in this video. Some footage seen in the video would be from the Jewish Community Center of Greater Baltimore. That would be in Owings Mills, Maryland. And that was approved by Bill Kirkner, the senior aquatic director. And again, the video that I'm speaking about was put together in 2018. That was by the American Chemistry Council. If this information is put out education in an educational means, it should reduce the instances that occur involving public pools.
People will be more aware.
And that's what we all want. We want pools to be safe. And I'll put the link to the video in the show notes as well. Last week, we had a Taylor K2006 salt test kit up for grab. Wayne Iveson now, and the winner of the test kit on the line, and we're going to let them know right here. Wayne Iveson, do your thing.
Hi, everybody. This is Wayne Iveson from Taylor Technologies in Sparks, Maryland. I am very happy to announce the winner of the K-2006 sea salt kit is Derek Black Bear.
Oh, I won? Man, that's awesome.
Congratulations, Derek.
Congratulations.
Flawless victory.
I've been using testers forever, man. I'm glad to get one of these. Actually, that was my first time listening, you know, but it's...
And winning a prize right off the bat, right out the gate.
I got so much information. What pulled me in was talking about the borates, actually. I've seen it work, and I just saw you guys talking about that. First time listening, actually, like I knew you guys for a long time already.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Thanks for listening.
You know, most times when you listen to a new podcast, they're strangers, obviously, but I felt like I had been listening to you guys forever.
Well, Derek, we want to officially welcome you to the Talking Pools podcast listener family.
Yeah, welcome. It's great to have you.
Why don't you give a shout out to your employer while we have you here?
I work for the Pool Pros in Costa Mesa in California.
And now you have a brand new test kit.
It's going to make my life so much easier. I can't wait. Sure.
Congratulations, Derek.
Wayne, good luck. Enjoy retirement and, you know, stay active a little bit, of course.
Well, Derek, thank you for listening to us. And again, congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Congrats. I also want to say thank you again to Wayne Iveson and Taylor Technologies for donating a Taylor K2006 salt test kit for our giveaway.
Blu-ray XL is the power of minerals working for you. Reduce your overall chemical costs and labor up to 50% guaranteed. Whether you have 20 accounts or 20,000, Blu-ray XL's direct pricing and free shipping to the pool trade have you covered. Improving pool professionals' profit and work-life balance is what they do. Blu-ray XL, the real mineral purifier. Visit them at BluRayXL.com.
Blu-ray all day.
Last week, we spoke about the borate shortage, right? The looming, pending boron problem in the world.
Are we going to talk about the chlorine shortage that we're in the middle of?
I am a little bit, but not in the United States.
Okay.
I want to talk about what's happening in Europe, because Europe has swimming pool after swimming pool, if you look through the news, that is closing now, the beginning of the season, that's not some that haven't even opened. And the reason they're not opening is because of the chlorine shortage.
Mm.
In Europe, That's you know crazy. Where they get their chlorine?
Us?
China.
Okay.
You know where we've been getting ours since the biolab fire?
China.
Yeah. China has a huge backlog in chlorine production due to COVID, due to the biolab factory. Imports of Chinese chlorine, and not just China, because it comes from, I looked at where we import chlorine from in the U.S., and a lot of it comes from Russia. A lot of it comes from Vietnam. A lot of it comes from Korea. So all throughout Asia. But there's such a backlog since COVID happened, because again, swimming pools, not the only thing that use chlorine. Mm-hmm. You can tell me about how you use this in your wash too?
Chlorine, of course.
That's scary, because you know what that means?
The only thing I don't use in my laundry is acid and calcium.
Well, here's the thing. If the biolab factory isn't going to be rebuilt until the end of the summer, and they're not going to start pumping trichlor in the market until 2023, if we're currently getting our supply from China, with exception to a few small U.S. manufacturers, which are small, if the Chinese are backed up in production and cannot supply Europe or the U.S., that means it's going to get worse before it gets better. That means even if it's okay right now, it won't be coming up soon. So
it'll be less okay.
It'll be what?
It'll be less okay coming up.
Less okay, right. Mm-hmm. I just hope that our liquid chlorine manufacturers like HASA, Brenntag, have a good handle on the production needs that they have to meet in order to make up for that deficit. Because last year was a complete and utter shit show. But on their behalf, they were blindsided. For CalHypo manufacturers like Segura Chemical, if they've ramped up. And together, somehow, between the both of them, we make it through.
Where's
this
the trichlor
next
manufacturers?
Year. There's a couple of little ones around, but there's really, that was it. I mean, the big problem was is there was nobody else really that manufactured chlorine and pressed tablets. So
other than the biolab, you mean?
And biolab was the big kahuna in that space of three decent size factories and then some minor small ones mixed in. But you know a lot of folks that have gotten containers directly from China. You mm-hmm. do. Some I of do. Them live in the Great White North.
Canada.
Not Canada.
Minnesota.
No. That would be the place, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do know somebody in Minnesota.
There's not a light at the end of the tunnel, but there's an end to the tunnel. There's an end to the supply, because if they can't get it in Europe, and the other part of the problem is the war in Ukraine, is also a factor in distribution of chlorine. And what's killing us is price increase after price increase after fucking price increase. It just never ends. It seems like it's almost weekly at this point. I wish they could have done it just all at once, like tearing off a Band-Aid. At least we could deal with that.
Pool Magazine is the hottest new publication for the pool and spa industry, featuring up-to-the-minute news on what's happening in the pool world in a fresh new stylized format with our mobile-friendly app. Pool Magazine is the app for keeping your fingers on the pulse of the pool industry. You'll find featured news, editorials, podcasts, videos, and more on the Pool Magazine app. Download on Google Play and the App Store.
Tomorrow's Thursday. Is
somebody please. Heimlich.
The
show in the Keys is in July, right?
The show in the Keys is in July, but I'm going to the Keys this weekend.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make sure that when this comes out, I won't be in the Keys so that nobody wants to kidnap me or anything like that.
Why would somebody want to kidnap you?
Just kidding. Anyway, because
you're a pain in the ass.
All right, good point. Anyway, so yeah, I'm working ahead. I busted my ass this week, and I'm trying to leave for the Keys on Friday.
Okay.
So I did kind of a bunch of stuff today. Actually, you know what I started doing? And I got this idea from a friend, Ann Jones, that Big shout out. Thank you for all your help. Anyway, so I put together a little binder for myself.
I know, Anne. She's awesome.
Yeah, and I put together not only a little binder that has, so, you know, I don't know. I've always been old school with like the route sheets, you know, and you write on the paper, you know, the chemicals and what you did and all that stuff. Nowadays, everybody uses apps, which is totally fine. For me, I tend to get distracted when I have to look at my phone because there's so much shit on my phone that if I go to do something pool related, you know, I get a Facebook message or Heather sending me feet pictures or something like that. And so, so I get distracted. So anyway, another thing that happens is when I get to my commercials, I've been doing my county log sheets and like the chemical tests and stuff last.
Or not at all.
And sometimes some, yeah, no, I do it. Well, I test the chemicals. I'm saying sometimes I do, I have been guilty of forgetting to record the log sheets. So anyway, I was talking to Ann Jones about something unrelated and she mentioned that she has a binder and stuff that she put together. And I thought that was a great idea. So I made myself one. So thanks, Ann. And then I also decided that I was going to leave a folder, not just the county log sheets, but I was also going to leave a folder with like some, just some lined paper in there. It's literally nothing other than that and the log sheets. But now I have a record of everything that I've done there. Like, you know, because I've got this one pain.
Okay, so that's
customer. So I'll be like, right. So I'll be like, water level was good. Today I backwash it because they don't give you enough room to write all that stuff down on those log sheets. They give you one little tiny Excel cell. So anyway, I feel like that is going to help me out and eliminate some problems. Oh, and the fact I'm going to start doing the chemicals first. So I'm actually going to change my routine a little bit, kind of a lot of it. And I'm going to just go and do the chemicals first. Maybe other people do this and this is nothing new for anyone, but it's a change for me.
So you're going to create a ledger for each pool?
Pretty much.
Okay. I like it. That'll help.
Yeah. And it doesn't, it's not going to be like super detailed. It's just going to be like, you know, because I can't, you know, I've bitched about this a lot on the show about the about people complaining about the water level is too high or it's too low or it's too this or this is, are the, is the heater on? Is the pump on? Is it, you know? So just, I figured that instead of having the property managers or the HOA presidents or whatever call in the office or call in me, I could just have that book there and then just write it down, a quick little sentence, and then I have it for my own self. That's everybody knows.
All right, so I wanted to share something with you, but you know what? Take it with a grain of salt. It's a word on the street type of scenario. However, the word on the street is an extremely reliable source. Not an insider, but a very, very reliable source, and you're going to have to trust me on that. But one of the major distributors in this country, this is what they're saying, is shifting to a no muriatic acid.
A no muriatic acid and what?
No muriatic acid stock position. They're going to start using only sulfuric acid. I don't know if that's just going to be in Florida, if it's just in the Southeast, or if it's something that they're implementing across the nation. But
because they can't get it?
I don't know the exact reason. But again, keep in mind, this is just a word on the street scenario. So take it with a grain of salt at this point in time. But let's keep our eyes peeled. My source is telling me that they're telling people it's safer, it's better, it's stronger.
Isn't it legitimately none of those things? I just.
Well, yeah, that's a thing, right? Because we don't recommend using sulfuric acid if you have a choice.
I mean, isn't it? Well, isn't it? It's non-fuming, right? So doesn't that mean like it's diluted?
It's non-fuming. That's the benefit. And it's actually not really any weaker. I mean, the dose is going to be the same. I think what you'll find in most calculations, it's a difference of maybe an ounce at best if you're looking to do a significant drop in pH. But the other factor is that every gallon adds roughly about 53 parts per million of sulfates. But people don't seem to like it as much.
Swear by it.
You can't use it in a pool with a saltwater generator.
Because of the sulfates.
Because sulfates will destroy the salt cell. Every manufacturer's paperwork state that point blank you cannot use sulfate products. That's aluminum sulfate, sodium bisulfate, sulfuric acid, copper sulfate, any of those things you cannot use in a saltwater pool. And at 300 parts per million of sulfate or higher, the water will actually damage stonework.
At what parts per what?
300 parts per million. It doesn't matter because do you test sulfates?
No.
Do you know anybody who tests sulfates?
I barely know people who test calcium.
No, but the point, if they switch to using sulfuric acid, that's going to be one of the tests they're going to have to implement. So forget about it for your saltwater pools.
No one's going to do that.
And your saltwater pools are your giant acid consumer, right? That's the majority of acid for a pool professional goes into their saltwater pools.
Yes.
If they have residential pools, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So you can't use it there. You're going to have to monitor the levels, even if it's not a saltwater pool, because levels above 300 parts per million can be problematic for the stonework. Pool deck rock features things along those lines.
We could just not have those in pools anymore. Is there a pain in the ass anyway?
Stones?
Yeah.
You're talking about the big boulder landscape grottos.
Rock waterfall. Yeah, I hate that.
You don't
feel like I'm at a low admission theme park.
Climbing over the rocks to clean the pool.
I feel like I'm at a Six Flags. Oh.
Is this a problem or not a problem, the sulfuric acid thing?
It's a problem for me. I don't want that.
I mean, typically in a normal world, and I hate to use the word normal, but in a normal world, sulfuric acid is usually more expensive. However, with all the problems we've had in the supply chain with muriatic acid, maybe it's not now. I don't know. If anybody knows the current pricing, let me know. But let's hope that, at least in this instance, let's hope that my source is wrong. Like I said, take it with a grain of salt. It's just the word on the street, not looking to start any rumors, just telling you to keep your eyes peeled. If this does happen, we're going to have to change the way we go about doing a lot of things, especially with our saltwater pools.
Hey, that's been our show. So thank you for listening. Check out all of our other shows that we have. Apparently we have one every day. Or almost every day. And follow us on all the socials. Ask us the questions because we love it. And thanks for listening.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Till next time, be good.
Yeah.
Be safe.
May your pools be clear.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the pool people's body. Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.